First of all, I'd like to welcome His Holiness Srila Jayadwaita Maharaj back to Bombay, and especially we are grateful for His kindness to come today and bless us here at Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Everyone, please very lovingly welcome Maharaj. Welcome to your home, Swamiji Maharaj. Because of Maharaj's great affection and merciful preaching to us, He has purchased our hearts, and therefore this is your home. You have purchased all of the residents. So please come often. I will speak for a few minutes, then request Maharaj to also bless us with His words of transcendental wisdom.
Adhapite deva padam bhujadvaya prasada lesan nugrihitta evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan.
My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 6, Text 84. Lord Krishna is very eager to bestow His mercy upon the conditioned living beings who are uselessly struggling with the Lord's illusory energy, Maya. The conditioned soul struggles for happiness through sense gratification and for knowledge through mental speculation. Both processes ultimately bring him to a morose and hopeless condition. If the conditioned soul surrenders to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and thus acquires even a trace of His causeless mercy, the whole situation is changed and the living entity can begin his real life of bliss and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. Tadastu menata sapuri bago bhavetra vanyatra tu vatirascham yenahameko pibavaj jananam utva nishevetavapada pallavam. My dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I may take birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. We are reading this afternoon from the beautiful prayers that Lord Brahma offered to Lord Sri Krishna in the beautiful forests of Vrindavan. Brahma wanted to see what are the opulences of this talkative child Krishna, who had just delivered the great and mighty Asura, Agha. And therefore, he stole all of the calves and friends of Krishna and kept them in a secluded place for one full year by human calculation. But during this time, Krishna effortlessly, for the sake of giving pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan, he expanded himself into each and every calf and each and every cowherd boy. And the only difference anyone could experience in that whole year is they never had so much love for their children. The cows and the parents of the gopas, they loved their children with the same ecstasy that they loved Krishna himself. Brahma, upon seeing this glory, came down on his wonderful swan carrier. And there he saw each of the calves and each of the children manifest the beautiful forearm form of Lord Vishnu, with all of the Devi great souls worshipping them. And then after this, the whole scene changed and Krishna was standing there alone, appearing to be searching for his friends. So Lord Brahma is here offering prayers and he is begging Krishna for devotional service. That there is no other process, no other occupation that is worth anything. The only thing of real value is devotional service. Brahma is praying that only when you show your mercy can one achieve devotional service, and there is no other way. And he is praying that I am not attached to being Lord Brahma. There is nothing auspicious about my position. The only thing that is auspicious is devotional service. I only pray for this one benediction. Let me be Brahma if you so desire, or let me take birth again and again and again, but just count me as one of your devotees. Even if I be amongst the animal species, I will feel my life perfect if I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. The glories of devotional service is the essence of all knowledge. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to broadcast these glories as his life and soul. In fact, it is said that Lord Chaitanya would never speak about anything except devotional service. He would never ask a question unless if it was in reference to devotional service. In fact, he himself claimed, I will not even look at the face of a person who does not accept devotional service. Because devotional service is the ultimate wealth. Why? Because it alone can purchase Krishna. What is real wealth? Wealth means to have something that has the power to buy something great. Why are people in this world so mad to make money? People are giving up their own spiritual principles, giving up morality, spending day and night worrying, scheming, working like ass, trying to get money. Have we seen people standing in crowded trains, going in crowded traffic jams in their cars, people traveling around the world, anything and everything, somehow to get money? Because people want wealth, thinking that wealth will make them happy. But what is real wealth? The only happiness for the soul is Krishna. And Krishna is only purchased through bhakti.
Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyasyasmi tattvataha.
It is only through devotion that I can be understood as I am. Krishna agrees to be purchased by devotional service. Therefore, devotional service is the supreme and greatest of all wealth. And it is the only wealth that can bring about real pleasure. Therefore, Krishna does not give devotional service to just anyone. When he gives devotional service, he becomes subordinate to that devotion. Just as the Lord just as the devotee loves to glorify the Lord reciprocates by chanting the glories of his devotees. There is a story of once Damodar Pandit, who was a very austere, very renounced, and very pure devotee. He was visiting Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Devi, in Navadvip. And after meeting her, he came back to Jagannath Puri to meet with Lord Chaitanya. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Damodar Pandit to a secluded place. And he asked, "How is my mother? You have seen my mother? How is she? Is she engaged in devotional service to Lord Vishnu? Please tell me the truth." Damodar Pandit became very angry that Lord Chaitanya asked this question. She said, "My Lord, what question are you asking? You are asking if your mother is engaged in devotional service to Lord Vishnu? It is only by her mercy that you're engaged in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Because of her mercy upon you, you are a devotee. Whatever you devotion you have, it has come from her. Your mother, she is constantly immersed in devotional service. All of the ecstasies of a devotee are always decorating her. And the holy name of Krishna is constantly coming from her mouth. Your mother is the very personification of devotion. Anyone who even remembers her or says her name will be freed of all sufferings. Why are you testing me by speaking in this way? Does she have devotion?" When Lord Chaitanya heard Damodar Pandit praising Sachi Mata, his heart became filled with ecstasy. He was so blissful, he says, "Yes, Damodar Pandit, what you are saying is true." He says, "Because you have glorified my devotee in this way, you have purchased me. You can sell me anywhere you like." This is very significant. One, in order to preach the glories of the Lord, has to have the power of the Lord to give. And one who honors and loves the Lord's devotees, Krishna gives himself to that person, and that person can give Krishna to the whole world. Lord Chaitanya said, "It is only by the mercy of my mother, Sachi Devi, that I am worshipping Lord Vishnu and that I have any devotion. It is only because of her that I have come to this world, and therefore I am eternally indebted to her. Everything you have said is true." Lord is always subordinate to the love of his devotees. In fact, the Lord even considers that whatever greatness he have is due to his devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna explains in one beautiful sloka that the only reason that I am the Supreme Master and I have all six opulences is because I have taken the dust of the feet of my devotees on my head. One day, Lord Chaitanya asked one of his very old friends from Navadvip, he asked, "How are my friends and relatives? Is their life auspicious?" Lord Chaitanya asked this question to teach the whole world the most important of all lessons. What is auspiciousness? Auspicious means to have devotional service to Krishna. If you do not have devotion to Krishna, there is nothing auspicious in your life. Even a king who has great wealth, nothing is auspicious if he has no devotion. If a person has great, great wealth, fame, and all the pleasures of the world, if he does not have devotion, everything he has is simply inauspicious. But if a person doesn't even have enough food to eat today, and if that person is in the extreme limits of poverty, if he has devotional service, that person's entire life is all auspicious. And that person is considered to be the wealthiest of all wealthy men. Real wealth is Krishna consciousness. And we should not trade that wealth for anything in the world. We should not try to substitute that wealth for any of the illusory manifestations of Maya or illusion. And that is intelligence. Yehi samsparashaja bhoka dukha jonaya evati atyantavantakomtaya nate shuramate buddha. The temporary objects of the senses may give us pleasure in the beginning, but they make us miserable in the end. But devotional service, Krishna consciousness, brings us eternal happiness. Therefore, it is our real and only true wealth. In this regard, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the house of Srivas and he was bestowing benedictions upon all his devotees, he began to remember one simple devotee, Kolavecha Sridhar. And Lord Chaitanya told the devotees, "Please bring Sridhar to me. I am longing to see him. Please bring him." The devotees asked, "Where is he?" He said, "You just go out into the night and you just begin to walk, and you will hear the loud chanting of the holy name. And you just follow that chanting, and you will find Sridhar." Kolavecha Sridhar was such a simple person. By material standards, he was very poor. He used to sell the leaves of the banana trees, and he would sell the root of the banana tree, and sometimes even some bananas. And with whatever little money he made, he would use half of it to worship Mother Ganga, and the other half he would utilize for his livelihood. And he was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was so fair. He would never try to make undue profit or cheat. He would give the fairest possible price and not change his price. When Lord Chaitanya was a little child, in his lila as Nimai Pandit, he would every day he would go to the little place of Kolavecha Sridhar. And he would ask, "How much is this banana leaf? How much is this bananas?" Kolavecha Sridhar would give a very honest and fair price. Lord Chaitanya said, "This is too much. I will give you half." He said, "Why you are harassing me in this way?
I am giving you a very fair price. If you do not like my price, please go to another seller. Lord Chaitanya said, no, I will never give up a good supplier like you. In fact, I will not pay you anything. I will take these bananas for nothing. Generally, as a regulation, Lord Chaitanya would argue with Kolavecha Sridhar for 2 hours every day. It was his great pleasure. And in the end, he would just take the bananas and Sridhar would say, why are you, don't you know that whatever profits I'm making, I'm using for the worship of Ganga? Lord Chaitanya, he would say, yes, I know. But do you not know that the river Ganges is coming from my lotus feet? That Mother Ganga is my devotee? And Sridhar would hold his ears, crying out, Vishnu, Vishnu, how can you say these things? But still, Lord Chaitanya would do everything to try to make Sridhar angry. But Sridhar would never be angry. Because just by seeing the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his heart would become filled with so much love and so much bliss that he would be completely satisfied. He'd say, my Lord, you take these bananas, you take whatever you want. And Lord Chaitanya, throughout his entire childhood, and later on, when he was the great propounder of the Yuga Dharma, every single day, every meal, he would take on the banana leaves of Kolavecha Sridhar. One time, Lord Chaitanya was looking at Sridhar's clothes. This is when he was little child, Nimai Pandit. He said, Sridhar, why don't you worship the demigods? Look at all these demigods worshippers. They have so much money and wealth. Look at you. Sridhar said, I have everything I need. But your clothes, there's more holes in your clothes than there are clothes. So many patches, so many sewings. It's so old. It's just discarded. Sridhar said that the king is living wearing very, very, very beautiful robes and jewels of great opulence. And the birds have their feathers and the animals have their hairs. What is the difference? Everyone passes their time and everyone ultimately has to give everything away back to the Supreme Lord in his form of time. So I am happy. I am happy chanting the holy names. In fact, Lord Chaitanya used to say, Sridhar, why are you charging so much? Why are you saying you are poor? You possess the greatest wealth. And the wealth he was talking about was devotional service. When people did not even know his name, he was such an insignificant person in the eyes of the public. People just called him Kolavecha, which means the banana seller. And because he was such a great devotee of the Lord, after he would do his little service during the day, for 12 hours continuously, all night, every night, he was chanting very, very loudly the holy names of Krishna. And the materialistic people, they couldn't tolerate it. Their ears would crack hearing the sound of Kolavecha Sridhar chanting all night. They would start chastising him. Sridhar, we have to work all day tomorrow. Why you are keeping us up? Why you are chanting all night? We know. Because you're worshipping this Krishna. You're so poor. And your stomach has eaten no rice in so long that you're so hungry that you're just crying in pain. And they would just insult him. But Sridhar did not care for anyone. he just continued chanting the holy names very, very, very loudly all night long. So on this night of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprakash, the devotees began to listen, and soon they heard the loud chanting of Krishna's holy names. They followed the sound and they came to the place where Sridhar was chanting, and they said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see you. Kolavecha Sridhar was so humble. He considered himself so insignificant that he couldn't believe it. Lord Chaitanya is calling to see me? And he fell to the ground unconscious. So the devotees lifted him up and carried him all the way to Srivasa's house. And they brought him before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, he said, just look and see my supreme opulence. And when Kolavecha Sridhar looked up, he saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had transformed into his original form of Krishna. He had the complexion of a tamal tree. He was standing in his threefold bending form playing on his flute. On his side was Lord Balaram, and all around him were the beautiful forests of Vrindavan, the gopas and the gopis. And then he saw Brahma and Shiva and Narada and Sukadev and all of these great personalities bowing down and chanting the praises of the Lord. And there was Ananta Shesha, like an umbrella, spreading his hoods over the Lord. When Sridhar saw this beautiful, beautiful sight, he fell to the ground again in the ecstasy of love of God. And Lord Chaitanya awakened him. And he said, Sridhar, he said, please offer prayers to me. And Sridhar said, I'm illiterate. I have no education. What prayers can I offer to you? Lord Chaitanya said, just try. Srila Prabhupada told us that there is no material qualification or disqualification for devotional service. Anyone who sincerely tries to serve Krishna, sincerely endeavors to carry out the order of the spiritual master, can be empowered miraculously to perform the service of the Lord. So as soon as Kolavecha Sridhar made his sincere attempt to speak, Lord Chaitanya sent Goddess Saraswati to reside on his tongue. And he began to speak beautiful, beautiful prayers. That my Lord, you are the Supreme Lord. You are the essence of the Vedas. You are the knower of everything. You are the bestower of all the greatest benedictions. You have descended to this world to give pure love of God to everyone. You are that same Lord who lived in Gokul as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And now you have come to live as the Lord of Navadvip. And you are filled with so much love for Krishna. But that love of Krishna that is within yourself, now you are giving it freely to everyone. You are giving the gift of devotional service, the ultimate wealth. Because devotional service conquers you. When you give devotional service to someone, you give yourself to that person. By the power of devotional service, Bhishma was able to defeat you on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. By the power of devotional service, Mother Yashoda was able to tie you up with the rope. By the power of devotional service, Satyabhama was able to control you like a hen-packed husband. By the power of devotional service, the cowherd boys of Vrindavan defeat you in wrestling. And you carry them on their shoulder, on your shoulders. Although you are the creator of all the universes, and just by your thought all cosmic manifestation comes into being, still you are defeated and carried by your little cowherd boyfriends headed by Sri Dhamma. Devotional service will always conquer you. And that is your greatest, most divine of all opulences. How you are the supreme controller of all controllers, but you are willingly controlled by your devotee's love. And therefore, the greatest of all personalities, they only beg for this one benediction, for devotional service. They will never, ever ask for anything else. Lord Chaitanya himself prayed in this way. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoi tikitvai. In the role of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how we should pray. We should not pray for things that are going to make us ultimately miserable, which means anything of this material world. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya doesn't pray, give me wealth. Lord Chaitanya said, I do not want wealth. Lord Chaitanya was not praying, give me beautiful wife. He was praying, I do not want a beautiful wife. Lord Chaitanya was not praying, give me fame and followers. He was praying, I do not want fame and followers. Who will pray like this today? I do not even want liberation. Sometimes we're suffering, we're miserable, we have diseases and we have anxieties and everything's going wrong. And we say, Lord, give me freedom from suffering, give me liberation. Lord Chaitanya prayed, I do not want liberation. These things are all a burden. They are all inauspicious. I only pray for one benediction. Birth after birth after birth, let me always be engaged in serving you unconditionally. That is the ultimate of all wealth. After Sridhar offered these beautiful prayers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. He said to Sridhar, ask a boon from me. Ask anything from me, I will give it to you. Sridhar replied, I do not want anything. Lord Chaitanya said, I will give you all the 8 mystic perfections. Ask for it. Sridhar said, I have not come to do business with you. I do not want anything. Lord Chaitanya said, ask, ask. I will be happy if you ask for something. Sridhar said, if you insist, then I ask for this one benediction. Let me always remember you in that beautiful form of Nimai Pandit, coming to steal my banana leaves. In every birth I may take, please always come and quarrel with me about the price of my bananas. That is the only benediction I desire. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, I will give you a kingdom. I will make you a king. Ask it of me. Kulavecha Sridhar said, I only want you to be my master, and I want to be your servant. I want to be the servant of the servant of your servants, and I want to always chant your holy names. Upon hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to roar in ecstasy. And all the devotees began to chant, Hari, Hari. They were in so much happiness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Sridhar, I give you this benediction. Today I give you pure, unalloyed devotional service. And everyone's hearts became filled with joy to see Sridhar getting this causeless mercy. The ultimate, supreme of all wealth. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was explaining in this beautiful pastime how the only auspicious thing in life is Krishna consciousness. One day, Lord Chaitanya met with his sannyas guru, Keshav Bharati. And very humbly he asked him, please tell me, which is better, devotional service or impersonal speculation? And Keshav Bharati Maharaj began to think deeply within his heart. And he said, after all due consideration, my conclusion is that devotional service is best. It is the best. Lord Chaitanya said, but all these big sannyasis everywhere, they're talking about the glories of impersonal realization. Can you explain? And Keshav Bharati Maharaj said that they are most unfortunate. They do not understand what all the great souls are longing for and begging for. Devotional servants is the essence of all Vedas. It is the constitutional nature of the soul. It is the ultimate perfection of life. And even the demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they are begging to be devotees. Shukadev Goswami and the four Kumaras, they were completely liberated in impersonal liberation. And they gave it up within a second to accept devotional service. And then he quoted this beautiful verse of Lord Brahma. My dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life, as Lord Brahma, or in any other life, wherever I take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Lord Brahma, he has the greatest wealth, the greatest beauty, the greatest power, the highest position. He's willing to give it all up within a second to get one drop of devotion. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Lord Brahma prayed and prayed and even did tapasya. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him. Actually, Krishna appeared to him first. And he prayed that, I don't like this big high position of Brahma. Too much inclination to become proud. Pride spoils the spirit of devotion. As soon as a person thinks he's great because he has good education, high intelligence, lots of wealth, beauty, fame, one becomes proud. And that pride makes the heart hard. And Krishna never ever reciprocates with these attributes. Therefore, Brahma prayed that he could be in a simple, humble position where he could always serve Vaishnavas and always chant the holy names. So to fulfill the desire of Brahma, Krishna gave the benediction that Brahma could be born in the house of an untouchable. Can you imagine? The highest position of Brahma, all the demigods accept him as a guru. He lives for 311 trillion 40 billion years. And he never gets old. And he has so much wealth. Brahma Loka, even Indra Loka, is nothing compared to Brahma Loka. What to speak of the castles of the Maharajas here in India or anywhere in the world? So much power. But Brahma was praying to take birth as an untouchable. In the lowest caste of Malechas, where people of society would just take bath if they just saw his shadow, so that he could be humble and in that humility always chant the holy names of the Lord. So Krishna fulfilled this prayer of Lord Brahma and gave him the birth of Srila Haridas Thakur, where every day he would chant the holy names of Krishna. In fact, Lord Chaitanya wanted to tell people what real wealth was. Do you know one of the ways he did it? When he was living in Jagannath Puri, so many Brahmins would come to invite him to their house or to invite him so that they could give him prasad. So when all these Brahmins came, please accept prasad from us. Lord Chaitanya said, I will only accept prasad from one who is the master of 100,000. And the Brahmins became very much full of grief. Lord Chaitanya repeated, only the master of 100,000 will I accept food from. And the Brahmin said, none of us have 100,000 coins. None of us even have 1,000 coins. That means we cannot offer you anything. You will not accept. And if you will not accept our offerings, then our life is completely useless. We will simply burn in the fire of material existence if you do not accept our offerings. Lord Chaitanya said, you do not understand what I mean by the master of 100,000. I am not talking about coins of this world. Master of 100,000 means anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna 100,000 times every day. I will not enter the house of anyone who does not. I will not accept the offerings of those who do not chant 100,000 names of Krishna every day. So when the Brahmins heard this, they became very happy. So excited. They all vowed, from this day on, we will chant at least 100,000 names of Krishna every day. And then our life will be perfect because you will accept our devotional service and you will take food from our houses. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give the understanding. What is real auspiciousness? What is real wealth? The acharyas adjust things according to time, place, and circumstance. Srila Prabhupada gave us the same instruction, chant at least 16 rounds every day. Because Srila Prabhupada is the divinely empowered acharya, who was representing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to chant 16 rounds every day under his instruction is equal to chanting 100,000 names according to Lord Chaitanya's instruction to the devotees at that time. And Srila Prabhupada explains that of all instructions in all of my books, the chanting of at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day is most important. If one attentively tries to chant the holy name guarding against the offenses, Krishna will always protect that devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, "One who chants my name according to this instruction, I will always stand behind that devotee to protect him." That is the real wealth that we have inherited from the Supreme Father in his holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Keshav Bharati Maharaj was explaining so nicely to Lord Chaitanya how even Brahma and Shiva are begging for devotion. Therefore, what greater wealth is there? What higher perfection of life than Krishna consciousness? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to hear this. He said, "Dear Keshav Bharati Maharaj, if you would have said that impersonalism is higher, I would have jumped in the Ganges and given up my life." Consciousness, devotional service, I will remain in this world. And then Lord Chaitanya fell at the feet of his Guru Maharaj. Upon hearing the glories of bhakti from him, Lord Chaitanya began to worship the feet of Keshav Bharati. And Keshav Bharati began to offer his obeisances again and again and again at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the glories of devotional service in every aspect of his life. Amongst he and his associates, 24 hours every day, they simply engaged in the service of Krishna. And they were constantly dancing and dancing together while loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. So following in the footsteps of the great soul Brahma, we should beg. We should learn to beg for service. Beg Krishna. Beg the Vaishnavas. How can I serve you? In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in his translation of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he taught us to chant in this mood as a prayer. O Srimati Radharani, O Lord Sri Krishna, all-attractive, all-pleasing Lord of my life, please, I beg you, engage me in your devotional service. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The only true path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And here we find the greatest of all souls. They do not consider themselves great or learned or powerful. They do not even consider themselves the Adi Kaviye, the original gurus of the universe. These great souls consider themselves beggars, simply begging for the mercy of Krishna. And what mercy do they beg for? Please give me devotional service. Please let me serve you. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, and he was making his beautiful prayers, asking the Lord to give him the power to serve his spiritual master by giving Krishna consciousness to all these most fallen and lost souls of the Western world, he signed his letter to Krishna, your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So let us not try to be great. Let us try to be beggars for Krishna. Just yesterday I was in Russia. Wonderful devotees. Russia was a place that was under communist rules for so many, since 1917, many years. And people were so much abused and so much deprived of any real valuable purpose of life. And they suffered so terribly. And for so many years, when Krishna consciousness first came to Russia, whoever wanted to practice had to be underground, hiding. One book would come in and dozens of people would read that book. People would read the entire, they only had sometimes one day to read the whole book, then they had to give it to someone else. So they would just spend the whole day and night just reading and reading and reading and taking notes and reading, knowing they had to give up that book the next day to someone else. Such eagerness. We have so many books on our bookshelf and we don't even have time to read it. They have one book for one day in a year and they're just reading and reading. And they're remembering and they're sharing and they're telling others about it. And this way, Krishna consciousness began to spread like anything. And the KGB was harassing and interrogating, imprisoning. But devotees were strong. Srila Prabhupada went to Russia in 1971, I believe, with Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada was, there was nothing for him to do there. He was given no facilities to preach. Somehow or other, one person came who was sincere. But Srila Prabhupada predicted to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he said, someday in the near future, thousands and thousands of people will be chanting Hare Krishna in this city of Moscow. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu was thinking, how is this possible? Prabhupada said, this communist government, he said, it is making the people so unhappy and so desperate, it will not last. He said, within 20 years, communism will be finished in this country. And practically 20 years later, it was finished. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now, ordinary Srimad Bhagavatam class, about 250 people, would you say? The temple room is not as big as this. It's a smaller temple room.
250 when you give class, 150 when I give.
Great souls always say things like this. So, temple room completely filled. And there's the windows. There's crowds of people at the windows from outside. And there's a door, there's two doors on each side, and there's people crowded at the doors, and there's stairs, and people are crowded at the stairs just to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. There was about 250 every morning for Bhagavatam class. And there was about 300 for Gita class every night. Every night. And at festivals, they have thousands. Very, very serious people longing for Krishna. And there was one devotee, very quiet, very simple, comes every morning for class, every evening for class. His wife is there for class. His children One little girl, she's always, any sannyasi that comes, she says, Jaya Dvaita Maharaj ki jai.
She's still saying that?
Yeah, she's still saying it. Once tasting the sweetness of your holy name. She won't even go to school. Her father and mother have tried everything to go to school. She will not go to school. She just stays at the temple all day. And any devotee that comes, everyone knows who's come. Because they hear her voice very loudly. Jaya Dvaita Maharaj ki jai! And then everyone comes running down to greet Jaya Dvaita Maharaj. She just glorifies devotees all day.
I wonder what she said when you were there.
She said, Jaya Dvaita Maharaj ki jai!
No, she didn't.
Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki jai!
Anyways, this man and his wife, unless somebody tells you what they do, you'll never know. But the regional secretary, Vaidyanath Prabhu, very, very wonderful Vaishnava, he was telling me about this person. Because we were having prasad together. He doesn't speak any English. He's about 50 years old, simple man. He said, this man, he has 5 children and a wife, and they live in a one-room flat, and they've lived in this flat for years, and they haven't even bothered to put wallpaper on the walls yet. They don't even have paint on the walls, hardly. He said, this man gives to the movement $2 million a year. He started a trading company. He works. Everything he makes, he gives to his Guru Maharaj for the development of Mayapur and development of projects in Russia. He gives $2 million a year. That's about 7 crores of rupees. And his wife, she's so blissful. She's always praising devotees and giving gifts to devotees. She wakes up at 3 o'clock every morning to start baking bread and make these different cakes. And she does that up until I think she wakes up at 2 in the morning and does it up until Srimad Bhagavatam class. Huh? And then she sells these bread and cakes, and the money that she makes is what maintains the family. And the father's business, everything he makes, he just gives to the devotees. $2 million a year. And he's always in anxiety because he's not giving enough. He told me that. He had tears in his eyes. He said, my Guru Maharaj wants to build this Mayapur temple. He said, if I only give $2 million a year, it'll take 50 years to build it. He said, that's too much time. I have to give more. I'm not doing anything. This man has understood what is real wealth. Little flat, 1 room, 5 children, and it's a happy family. The children are at the temple all day chanting Hare Krishna. Some of them go to school. The wife is just serving devotees all the time. And he's just working, 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 giving everything to Krishna. That is wealth. And unless somebody tells you who he is, you'll never know. Because he'll never speak what he's doing. He'll only speak what he's not doing. So we should all understand what is the real purpose of our lives and what is the real wealth we should strive for. To be an insignificant beggar. That is the ultimate position. Lord Brahma came as Haridas Thakur begging just to serve the Vaishnavas and begging just to purely chant the holy names of Krishna. Thank you very much. Maharaj, please enlighten the devotees.
Thank you very much.
Speak. It is our humble request. Whatever your merciful heart prompts you to say.
My merciful heart.
Yes.
That must be the other one. Papite deva padam bhujam dvaya prasadale shanugrihite vahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimna. This kind of person can understand the glories of Krishna. The person who's got prasadale shanugrihite vahi, prasadale sha, not even the full mercy of the Lord, but just a little fragment, prasadlesh. If a person can catch up that remnant of Krishna's mercy, anugrihita, through the parampara system, no one can catch up Krishna's mercy directly. Anyone who wants to directly get the mercy of Krishna, he'll find it very, very difficult. But Anu, by following in the parampara system, the prasada desha anugrihite vahi, one can get that fragment of mercy from the pure devotee of Krishna. Praptasya kalyana gunarnavashya. Krishna's showering mercy upon the pure devotee, and the pure devotee is showering mercy upon others. Praptasya kalyana gunarnamasya. Vande guru sri charanadavinda. In this way, the spiritual masters or the pure devotees of the Lord are catching up Krishna's mercy by the devotional process. Otherwise, by the mental speculative method, one can go on pantastukoti satavatsara sampragamya. One may go on for thousands and thousands of years traveling at mental speed. The mental speed is so quick that one can go from here to America or here to China in less than a moment. One only has to think about it, and the mind is there in it. Just a fraction of a moment. So you can just imagine what that speed is. Calculating from here to China and then calculating how quickly. So what kind of speed is that? And if one could travel at that speed for millions of years, still he couldn't reach the tip of the toe of Govinda. That means mental speculation is useless. The mental speculation is useless. Takes too long. That means takes forever. It's hopeless. The Mayavadi speculators are going on and on and on and on, and one defeats the previous one, and one defeats the next one, and they never reach any conclusion. They argue with one another and go back and forth, but they can never understand Krishna. They can be proud that I've given such great arguments, they can be proud I have a better philosophy than he does, but they can never catch the mercy of the Lord. Their benefit is that it's described that it's the same as the benefit that one gets by husking an empty rice paddy. The paddy is already gone, husked, and one is beating on the husk and trying to get something. So then what does he get? All he gets is the trouble that he puts into it. He doesn't get anything else. So the Mayavadi speculators, that's what they're getting. They're getting klesho dikataraste. They're getting trouble and more trouble, and after that, more trouble. And finally, if after millions of years they can reach the goal that they speculate upon, some impersonal, featureless, absolute with no form, no name, no qualities, even if they can somehow reach that, then patantyadho nadrita yusmarangriya. Then they fall down again after going through so much trouble because of neglecting the lotus feet of Krishna. That means worse than wasting their time. And the devotees who take up the process of Krishna consciousness, bhavami na chirat partha maya veshita chetasa, because they're always thinking of Krishna. Krishna very quickly delivers them from the ocean of birth and death. To get free from the ocean of birth and death by speculation is not possible. And to get free from the ocean of birth and death by the mercy of Krishna is very easy. And that mercy of Krishna in the form of Krishna's, in the shape of Krishna's form, name, qualities, pastimes, his associates, his entourage, his abode, they're all made available by the devotee of Krishna. Therefore, the business of the Krishna conscious person is not directly to try to become Krishna's devotee, but to try to become the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. The fools, they announce themselves to be Krishna. That I'm God, I'm great, I'm Bhagavan, I can do everything, I can create gold, I can create ashes, I can do this, I can do that. They claim to be God. They're useless. They're worse than useless, the false incarnations of God. They're aparadis, offenders to the Supreme Lord, and people are thinking they're the Supreme Lord. This is first-class illusion. So the such persons can't distribute God's mercy. They can distribute ashes. Or they can distribute gold, which is available anyway in the gold market. People are thinking, I saw a saintly person and I got some gold. But there are so many tourists. I just came from Dubai. So there's so many tourists, they're going to Dubai, and there's much more gold. So from some, from the gold souk in Dubai, you can get gold, or from a saintly person, so-called, you can get gold. But it's the same maya. Only you can get more of it in Dubai, that's all. The pure devotee of Krishna never claims that I'm Krishna, or he never even claims that I'm the servant of Krishna. But he claims to be the servant of 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 Krishna. This is the real business. So we have to learn from the devotees like Kulavetra Sridhar, like Haridas Thakur, like all of the great acharyas engaged in pure devotional service. And by following in their footsteps and hearing the messages of their pastimes and qualities, we have to become Krishna conscious and make our life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Advaita Maharaj ki
jai. Advaita Maharaj ki jai.